Nicely with Martin Bester.
Very warm welcome to our guest on the show this morning, Carly. Lekom jou ontmoet. Baie welkom hierso.
Baie dankie, Martin.
Ek wil jou terugvat. So na jou vroeg 30s toe, 20s toe. Vertel ons jou story.
Ek het groot geword en nie dus op school as kind enige gewigsprobleme gehad nie. En toe hierso rondom 1920 toe het ek so 'n bietjie hormonale probleme gehad en en toe het ek op 'n stadium toe in 3 maande se tyd so 12 kilos opgetel en dis waar alles toe nou bietjie begin pear-shape gaan het. En
Ja,
en toe van daar af, soos ek sê, toe, ja, opgetel, en toe was dit maar 'n kombinasie van hormonale probleme en kom ongelukkig maar baie keer in, jy weet, slegte gewoontes. Dink as jy op skool het jy baie aktief, jy het sport, jy dinge wat jy doen en dan ja.
Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to. You know, it gets tougher and tougher at school. You're very active and you may not be when you start a family and stuff. Are you at kinders?
Ja, ek het 2 seuns. Maar ek het hulle eers, soos ek sê, ek het op 30 maag geword.
Okay.
So ja, so ek het dit is, en dit is waar my groot motivering vandaan gekom het. Dit was wat my gemotiveer het om my lewe te verander.
Die feit dat die kinders gehad het?
Weet jy, ek het... Wel, dit het aanvankelijk met gewigsprobleme saam, was dit ook maar uitdaging om aanvankelijk kinders te kry, dit het nie net so vinnig en makkelijk gebeur, soos wat mens gedink het nie, en toe my 2 seuns so, was in 2011 gewees, toe my 2 seuns Liam en Keen, daai tyd al so 16 maande uit mekaar gebore, toe het hulle en my man op die gras rondgerol en gespeel en gelag en gegiggel en weet ek het op die patio gesit by ons townhouse en ek het net die trane het net begin loop en ek het net besef, ek mis uit op die lewe. Ek lewe my lewe as 'n toeskouwer en ek sien hoe ander mense dit geniet en ek is nie daar en present en in my kinders se lewe en deel van die pret nie.
That could be a huge motivating factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You had to sit and watch your husband play with the kids because you couldn't.
Yeah.
Hoekom kon jy nie?
I was just too big and uncomfortable. I was not that mobile at that stage. You know, I was weighing close to about 130 kilograms. And it was just, I just didn't have energy. It was like I said, it just hit me. That this is, you've been thinking of had a long journey of yo-yo dieting. And that was a big thing that, you know, got me to my obese problem. Because I have been trying for a lot of times in my life. And then I think that it's just that day that I realized, but I've got to do something different and I've got to plan something different and I've got to make a plan. It's
Can
got
I
to be.
Ask, is that the heaviest that you weighed at your heaviest? It was 130.
I don't know what I weighed at my heaviest. I've had pictures that I look back on when just after my kids were born and at that stage I didn't have a bathroom scale. I think you're just in a stage of denial in your life that you prefer not to know.
Well, listen, that was also a turning point, and we'll get to that in a couple of moments' time, to telling a very, very inspiring story. Carly van die Kerk, ons gas op die show volgend. As jy wil môre sê, soos altyd, lekker om van jou te hoor, 084-850-0942. Die res van die story, op pad.
You're with your morning family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.
Look, a lot of people, when they face big challenges, you know, it's like making that decision that you're going to do something, and then actually following through and doing it. A special guest on the show this morning is Carly van Niekerk, who many years ago decided one day watching her husband and kids play on the lawn and she couldn't join them because she was just too uncomfortable to do it, that you need to make a change. Was it that day that you decided, now, enough now, I got to do something?
Yes, that was, I actually, the year before, about a year before that, I watched a program on Carte Blanche that, you know, talked about weight loss surgery and that it can be covered by medical aids. And I was thinking about it, but you know, that was, you know, you start thinking about something, but it's like you're not there yet. And that was the day. That was just the day that I realized nobody's going to do it for me. I've got to now make a plan. I've got to find something that works and I've got to make a change.
Did you try some outrageous diets?
I've literally almost tried them all. And like I said, it has been a process of yo-yo dieting. And that was stuck, obvious before. And every time, you lose weight, but it's not sustainable.
Just want to ask you, which was there one that you would recommend?
I hate the word diet. It was just such a negative journey. And that yo-yo dieting actually became a complete downward spiral. Like I said, it kicked off with a hormone issue. And in the end of the day, it was just this desperate thing of the next diet, one diet after the next, and every tablet that comes on the market, you believe you've got to try because this is going to be the big thing. And at the end of the day, you realize if you've been on a journey, there's no quick fix, unfortunately. But it doesn't have to be this negative experience. And
what's the most outrageous one you tried?
Look, I don't touch tuna. I can tell you, canned tuna. I've had cans of tuna. I don't eat rice cakes. There were some of them, just spinach.
Net spinach.
Well, pretty much spinach and boiled eggs and tuna and rice cakes. You go through all those stages. Like I say, I've tried every product on the market.
Yeah. And then you saw in carte blanche the surgery, the gastric bypass surgery.
Gastric bypass surgery.
And that's what you did?
Yes. I've given some thought about it. And now it can be quite a controversial topic. And there's different opinions. And you also get a bit of opinions from a lot of people regarding it. But, it used to be a very behind-the-scenes backyard taboo topic. And that is, so I've done a lot of research, but then I found that medical aids do pay for it. So, if a medical aid support it, then,
Sure.
And it can be a life changing. And then also from a medical, because I was living with comorbidities, you had blood pressure issues. I was borderline heading for diabetes. Blood pressure, thyroid issues. So, at that stage, if the medical aid support it, and, if you go through a proper medical team and you go through a proper procedure and process and support it, then it's still a big change and it's not a quick fix and it's not the easy way out, but, it can change your life and it can change your health.
How does that work? So once you've had the procedure, how quickly does the weight loss or the body transformation, how does it...
So the body transformation is actually is very quick, but they do, if you end up with the right team, they guide you into the process because it is at the end of the day of about the lifestyle change.
Yes.
You've got to commit to the lifestyle change. So I had my first appointment in August 2011. I build up a bit of courage and I had to wait 4 months to actually get in for an appointment. I had my first appointment. And I could only have my surgery in April in 2012. And through the process that I've been with the team at the time, my medical team, I've already at that stage lost 23 kilograms in that 7 months in preparation of the operation.
Wow.
Wait, so you've lost just in before the operation?
Before the operation. And what I found is also they take you through a process. There was so much medical tests that's done and establishing things. So there's... If there's systems in your body that's out of balance, it so often actually is the underlying cause of weight issues as well. So when I started going onto medication to control blood pressure and blood sugar and those type of things, then the weight, that and some small diet changes or lifestyle changes, because I worked with a wonderful dietitian at the time, that already got me into the process of losing weight before, because they also expect you to commit to the process, and to change your lifestyle that you can be sustainable afterwards.
So it's almost like, but do you get to a point where you think to yourself, well, hey, I've lost more than 20 kilograms, do I still need to go ahead?
Yeah, maybe I should stick with this.
Keep going, yeah. In hindsight, I've been thinking about it a lot. There's a lot of, small changes that I've been thinking, maybe, maybe not. But I think for certain people, if you really got to that point of being morbidly obese and if you really got to that point of having tried everything and you're hanging in there, but I think you still, this, the the operation itself also change a lot in terms of, you know, it restricts you in terms of dieting. So it's not, there's no going back after that.
Okay. Okay, so actually, and it's something I've learned, the operation is almost there to sustain it.
Yes.
So they make sure you lose a lot of weight before the operation.
So once you've had a gastric bypass, are you saying that you can't pick up weight again, or that you actually can, but they train you to stop yourself from doing it?
You actually can, and I've also on my journey, as I meet up with other people who had the same surgery, there are people who pick up a lot of weight, and people who actually end up having what they call revision surgery. So you've got to make the lifestyle change as well. And I mean, that was also with me. They say that you've got your honeymoon after your operation. So I mean, everything goes well. By 10 months after my operation, I reached my ideal weight. Yeah. I've lost like 63 kilograms at that time.
10 months?
Yeah, like I said, okay, that was not including the 20-odd kilograms I lost before.
40 kilograms in 10 months.
Well, you halved in size.
Yeah, no, it's...
More than.
So, yeah.
So, once again, it's not a quick fix.
No.
It's not. It's not a quick fix. The lifestyle change, it always comes back to that.
Yeah. And sustaining it.
Van die vader alleen weet ons wil glo in die lewe that are quick fixes.
Yeah.
It's all with alcohol.
People, no, but there is no such thing.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You still have to just commit to a lifestyle change. She took it even a couple of steps further. By a couple of steps, I mean a couple of kilometers. A couple of kilometers, I mean what? Is it like 40 odd? What is it?
No, I think it's 90.
89.
Kilometers. Yeah. 85. There we go. 85.91 kilometers. Further, we're talking Comrades Marathon. She'll tell you more about that. You're just tuning in. Our very special guest sharing her life journey with us that started, they're being morbidly obese, to running the Comrades Marathon. Miropat.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Jacaranda FM.
Our special guest on the show this morning, what a story to tell. Kari van Niekerk, many, many years ago, found herself in a situation where she felt uncomfortable. It was enough now, diagnosed morbidly obese, and just decided, gotta make a difference. So the journey that you went on then led you to that gastric bypass surgery, and you said that you lost quite a bit of weight leading up to it. And this is now the doctors and stuff. They force you to kind of start rethinking eating lifestyle then already, leading up to it.
Yes, because the long-term success basically depends on it as well.
I suppose, yeah. And what kind of diet did they put you on? I mean, what were some of the biggest sacrifices and changes that you had to make?
No, I was so fortunate. I landed up with such a positive dietitian, and having had a negative experience about dieting all my life, she really focused on small changes. And that's, like I said, been my journey since, is it's all small changes. So she would really challenge you, and she would analyze what you're eating in your first appointment, go into detail, and then, you know, she would say, okay, fine, so you're eating 4 slices of bread. Let's just try now in the coming week to just eat 3 slices. You know, just cut your bread with 1 slice, and then
sure.
And so that was the positive. And then you do change that 1 slice, and you realize I can live. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to starve. I can live with 1 slice of bread less.
Sure.
And then, like, from 1 slice of bread, she took it from 3 slices, another slice down to 2. Then it would be a change, you know, maybe just change from white bread to brown bread.
Okay.
Big change I've made is, like, ever since the past 12 years, I only dish up in a side plate. I don't dish up a full plate of food anymore. And I think so. There's a lot of, I think, in my opinion, like mind trickery, just mindset changes. And
it's the way we grew up.
Yeah.
The more you eat, the better for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the compliment the cook. Having seconds, compliment the cook, or finish your food if you want to have dessert. Type of myths we grew up with.
Yeah. Okay, so then you had it. And then how do you sustain it, though? Because now you've had the surgery. Doesn't that maybe just like trick your mind into thinking, now I'm bulletproof, now I can just go back and eat what I want?
No, look, the surgery itself also changed to the extent that you can't, they call it dumping syndrome afterwards, that, you know, if you eat too much sweet or sugars, too high in sugar, too high in fat, you do get, you feel awful, you feel terrible, and that sometimes, you know, control you initially. I had to basically, there's a lot of things you can't eat anymore. Not can't eat, you, and you don't want to eat. I think my whole
food chain. You don't feel good eating.
Yeah, so there's the surgery itself, but then also like there's a honeymoon period wears off, and that's why the doctors and the team really like to take you on a journey of changing your lifestyle, because in the long term, I mean, they do restrict you, they do make your tummy smaller, they do bypass, part of your intestine, so your absorption is less, you can't eat, but I mean, over time, if you don't watch yourself and what you eat, you do fall back. And I have met people who's also had the surgery who's really had to go in for revision surgery. And the part is that when you get to that stage, then the medical aid is not keen to pay anymore because you've had an opportunity.
Yeah.
So when did you start running?
I started battling a bit again with Regain after about 3 years in, because I initially, you know, it was lifestyle changes in terms of what I was eating. And that, I mean, the surgery supported it. But then I never could get into a whole training routine. And yeah, then when I get at the Regain, I was like assessing my life and looking back at, okay, what's the next step now? How am I going to do it differently? I was 38. I was heading for my 40s. You hear all the horror stories about women and hormones and everything that's ahead of you. And I just, you know, had to find a way of, because I've tried, I mean, through on and off, I tried the gym, and for me personally, it was one of my biggest waste of money, was a gym contract, because I would sign up and I just never could get, gym was not my thing. So I just realized I had to find what was my thing.
Isn't that the message? You must find your thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Just because gym works for this person doesn't have to say it works for the other person. That's just right. Because running works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. And, you know, weight training versus cardio and all that kind of thing. It really is. Is that a good message to give someone listening this morning who wants to take that step, but they just don't like X, Y, Z?
Yeah.
Then try something until you get to that point.
Try something else. And what I've really, where my running journey really took off, was I tried it. I started off also in the gym and tried to, you know, running on a treadmill. But there's so much fun in doing something in a social context. I joined a running group. I made the most amazing friends that I've met on my journey, and we really became close friends. And then all of a sudden, there's a different way to exercise, because you've got a friend who's waiting for you there to get up. You've got to be there 5 o'clock in the morning. But it's not only you anymore. There's people suffering with you. You connect, you talk, and that made a whole change for me, you know, in running with a group of friends. And like I said, running may not be your thing. It may be walking in the neighborhood with a friend, but the friendships, the social interaction, and I think that was where gym didn't work for me, because that's a very lonely thing yourself, you know, to take on your
boring.
Own.
I like, that's why I like sports so much.
Yeah.
Exercise is a result of it. If does it make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Like, yeah, so you're just spending quality time socializing with your friends.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also happen to be exercising.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
But gym really is just, you go there to exercise.
Yeah, and it's just you, and you can't really converse. There's no time. No one cares.
That's why I like my trainer, because she puts up with me and talks to me.
Are you chatty?
I'm very chatty.
So you started running, you joined a running club, and then you ran the ultimate. That is the Comrades. Was that like a psychological thing for you? Was it a goal in your life?
No, the funny thing about running is it drags you in, and it's addictive.
Okay,
it's addictive, and like I said, the connection and I think the adrenaline and the feel good hormones. So yeah, and it's just one thing leading to the next. I mean, I initially started with a park run, and my next thing, and that was it. May that 2017, I ran my first half marathon, but then I was still on my own. And then the next year, like I said, I joined a running group. And then when you get these, you're inspired by the people around you. And, you know, my one friend, Liana, and I have been on a journey. We really, I mean, became such close friends through running. And she ran in Comrades herself then. And I was like, okay, fine, I think I need to try my first marathon. And she guided me through the training for my first marathon, and that was like January 2020. She ran with me. We at the start line in Ottosdal. We lined up, and I surprised myself, because my first marathon then, I was fortunate enough to finish within Comrades qualifying time.
True.
And then it was like, okay, fine. So maybe that's the next step. And that the year 2020 was, My brother, my late brother, was one of my motivations that I started running. He passed away when he was 20 in a car accident. And in 2020 would have been his 40th birthday that year. And I thought, you know, I think good I'm going to this for him for his 40th birthday. But yeah, then unfortunately COVID happened that year.
Two comrades later. Right?
Yes.
I mean, have you done two?
Two, yes.
Last. Unbelievable. What,
yeah,
what a journey.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And you did it for a great cause as well.
Yes, I've been running for CHOC, even in 2020 when I entered my first comrades, which I never did because it got cancelled due to COVID. I signed up as a CHOC ambassador, raising funds for CHOC for childhood cancer. And, you know, for me, it's also part of the journey. I got a second chance in life, and for me, it's about giving back and giving second chance to kids with cancer.
Let me tell you something. I find your journey obviously incredibly inspiring. I mean, it is the ultimate. It's going from almost one extreme to the other.
Mm.
But here, I want you to give someone who's not going to go to the other extreme, who's not going to run the comrades. What do you say to someone listening this morning who wants to make a change? Maybe it's a bigger change, maybe it's a smaller change, but just some change that you just can't get to. You know you got to do something. You know you got to either lose the weight or start exercising and stuff like that. How do you inspire someone like that? And that person's not necessarily going to run the comrades.
For me, it was a journey of big change. A big change starts with a small step. And I think we get blinded by the end result. Yeah. You've got 50 kilograms to lose. How do you lose 50 kilograms? 1 kilogram at a time. And you've got to start with small manageable changes, because you know if you've been on a journey and you failed at a lot of diets, or maybe there's other people out there who's had the same experience than me, and you've been looking for a quick fix, and you've got to start with a small change and actually prove yourself to yourself again. You know, if you've done a small change and you realize, yes, I can do this, then that's what takes you to the next change, and that's what takes you to the next challenge. And you know, like I said, it was really for me a matter of small changes, of changing eating to a side plate, just becoming also more aware of your eat. I think we sometimes end up so rushed and
using it as an excuse.
Yeah, there's always an excuse. Or we eat, we don't even realize when we're eating. I think there's, for me, I always try and be like mindful and conscious about my eating. It's just been, you just stick a chip or something in your mouth. If you just be more alert, you know, it's not about dieting as such, but it's just small changes in your lifestyle, because it's got to be sustainable. Don't expect quick results, but celebrate all the small milestones along the way. You know, give yourself the credit for what you're achieving, not for what you're not achieving or what you still have to achieve.
A small change is a change. You've asked to make a change. Don't think about the massive, like, big change right from the start. Yeah. Starts with a small change. Thank you for inspiring. Thank you for sharing your story. Really do appreciate it. Keep running, keep inspiring, and thank you very much for sharing your story with us on the show this morning.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity to share my journey. And I really hope there's people out there who, you know, who can connect and who can maybe identify with my journey and really just take that first step.
Yeah, and I like that.
And find your thing.
Find your thing.
Yeah.
I love that. Hashtag really find your thing. Carly van Niekerk, it was a plezier geweest om jou te ontmoet. Baie dankie vir die show was. Thank you so much.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. 6 to 9 weekdays. Jacaranda FM.